Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
On what I saw last night between the Lakers and Pelicans, if you are a team that was looking to get your revenge on the Lakers, you got about a three-week window where that's going to be very, very possible. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Wumake, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll have Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, coming up in about a half hour, get you caught up on the news and notes around the league right now as we're seeing these second, third waves of free agency start to fill out rosters right now. But, Janae, we've got the trade deadline for the NBA coming up on Thursday, and I know we spent a lot of the focus early on looking at the Lakers and what they need to do in this spot. I also want to take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers because the Lakers have been to the mountaintop. Like, right, wrong, or indifferent, they're operating from a place of privilege because they won the last championship. They're the defending champs. When I look at the 76ers, this is a team that came into this year with a lot of questions, that came into this year with a new coach, and now they're in a situation at first in the East with an injured star in Joel Embiid and what feels like still questions because the postseason's coming up. So I asked you before about the Lakers. I'll ask you now about the 76ers, Janae. How desperate should they be heading into the deadline to try and make some move to supplement this roster?
I didn't know if we were going to play good John, bad John here, but I think that's next segment, right?
Yeah, we got good John, bad John coming up in a little bit. So we will get the true Philly pulse on this for anyone interested from our group of Bulls here at ESPN Radio, the most Philly per capita crowd of any department in ESPN. That's coming up in 10 minutes. So, yes, this is not full good John, bad John yet.
Yeah, okay. So the team that should make a move right now, no one necessarily needs to, but it doesn't hurt to go the Brooklyn Nets model and just stack up as many weapons because those are good plan Bs, Cs, and Ds when it comes to the playoffs. I'm looking at Philly. While we had our friend Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, join us and said, look, the likelihood of this is probably not real, I'd be taking a good hard look at, you know, the Miami Heat, which people have said are in conversations. Who said, like, they're not necessarily? Oh, yeah, tier two. How often do we hear the Celtics and the Miami Heat are tier two of the NBA? Like, when you classify them as tier two, you're like, what? They really have fallen because these are teams that have commanded a lot of respect. So for Kyle Lowry, like the options there, I think it just highlights a need for contenders to really bolster their weaponry, knowing that we're at the point in the NBA where AD, can you imagine AD and LeBron, Anthony Davis and LeBron are not enough to guarantee you a title. Even though that was, you know, a year ago, we got it. But now with Brooklyn having a core four of talented players, Milwaukee flying under the radar and doing it in a high level, Joel Embiid and the 76ers have been doing their thing, but he's out right now. If you have an opportunity to win a championship, which every team actually does, that's top in the standings, around top five in the standings, we saw in the bubble teams making miraculous runs, whether it's the Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, shoot, the Phoenix Suns took that run and now is number two right now in the West. So, like, I think it's crazy because every team should be taking a hard look at the trade deadline to see if they can steal themselves a championship by stealing themselves a top player. It's not just the Lakers who might just do it in the buyout market with LaMarcus Aldridge or Andre Drummond, which I would love. It's everyone out there because Brooklyn has set a standard that now you just sort of have to match.
Well, Janae, I don't even know if the Lakers necessarily, if they were healthy, I wouldn't be as worried about right now for the Lakers, even with Brooklyn looming in the distance, because you've got those two guys that when healthy, you're a different matchup for Brooklyn and some of these teams right now. I think the Lakers, if they're interested in the buyout market, it's to buoy themselves for the next 3 weeks because we haven't heard an update on Anthony Davis. And with LeBron James, Adrian Wojnarowski came on not too long ago on ESPN Airwaves and said this could be 3 weeks to a month right there. And with the teams they play, you're talking about a big-time skid in the Western Conference potentially. But if they were healthy, I would be looking at this saying they could hold and stand pat.
Nah, fam. I don't think so. Not anymore. The bubble actually worked to, I think, the Lakers' advantage because they had the experience. They had the top-tier talent. And it's not often that you're going to get the Milwaukee Bucks that sort of crumbled in the East. It's not often that the Miami Heat has that chemistry. Like, you're going to get a dominant team coming out of the East, and that is a guarantee now. Like, that's a fact, period.
Well, is that because of injury right now? Joel Embiid's been bothered. Kevin Durant's been out a lot longer than we would expect for just a hamstring right now. Like, is it fair to question all of those and say you could get imperfect versions of these teams?
No, I don't think it's fair to question it because they could be imperfect. Like you said, Kevin Durant's been out. Joel Embiid is out. You know, Giannis, I think, had a sore knee as of late. Jason Tatum even, like, was out for a game. So, like, this is a weird injury bug that's hitting the NBA, but not surprising considering how tight the turnaround is. The reality is, though, like last season, you could say, all right, you have AD and LeBron, and this East does not have a James Harden. This East does not have a Blake Griffin on the same team as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So the tables are set differently now. The Milwaukee Bucks, they look so much better. I know a lot of people were critical, but Giannis is playing great. Right, as of late, he's been playing great. They found different ways to win. They're building chemistry. The Philadelphia 76ers are a problem defensively. This is a team that no matter who they're facing, they've got length at the point guard position in Ben Simmons. They've got length at the wing with Tobias Harris, who's playing excellent ball and should have been an all-star. And then you've got a defensive player of the year candidate alongside your point guard and Joel Embiid at the rim. These are not scrubs that the Lakers are going to go up against. So like you said, like you might have LeBron James and AD, but you need to bolster as much as you can, which is why I hope that they're active. If I'm a team that has a star that is 36 years old, a team that has another star in Anthony Davis that you're not sure like how the injuries play out in the future, do whatever you can to maximize on your window right now, because there's no guarantee that you're going to walk through just because you have those two players and win an NBA championship.
Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And that's interesting then to consider Kyle Lowry in that light, because we talked to Bobby Marks last hour on the show, our ESPN NBA front office insider, and he talked about what it could potentially cost to bring Kyle Lowry to Los Angeles.
As far as them having interest in a player like Kyle Lowry, to go out and do that, it will cost you probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, and Talen Horton-Tucker, one of your younger players. That deal probably doesn't make them better right now, but it probably makes them better when we get into the postseason, when you, if you get LeBron and, you know, AD back, and you can add a player like Kyle Lowry. But that's the type of deals that, you know, that's the probably the home run type deal they can do.
Do you agree with that, Jhené? Higher ceiling for the postseason if you mortgage some of that depth for Kyle?
This is a tough gamble. Oh my gosh, because Dennis Schroeder would have to be in that package going back to Toronto or wherever the stop is. And I think if it's smart, like if you're the Lakers and you want to get Kyle Lowry, maybe it doesn't make as much sense now in the regular season, but when they're playing for the playoffs, imagine a team like where you have, you know, 36-year-olds and I know 34 or so-year-old Kyle Lowry and LeBron James in the backcourt, that seasoned in the postseason, a scoring point guard, someone that puts his body on the line defensively. Kyle is like always up there when it comes to charges taken and drawn. Like that is not a bad trade-off. And I think the reason why the Lakers will make a hard look at this is while you want to get younger, you also know that your window is not as large as, you know, other windows concerning LeBron James is 36. Maybe you have 3, 4, 5 years max. I like max if he plays the 40, 41. But like, let's just say realistically 3 years. You can get great basketball out of LeBron James for 3 years, Kyle Lowry too, and Anthony Davis. So if you can run off two or three championships, I would be looking at this as a viable option, even though I think it's a little bit flying too close to the sun out here in Cali.
I appreciate that, Jhené, because I think that really speaks to the tension that's in that building, because Anthony Davis is their future. When you look at him, what he is in this league, he is their future of this team, especially with that timeline with LeBron James. And so protecting him at all costs, because we know what the history is with seven-footers, Achilles injuries. We hear calf, and all of us immediately jump to Kevin Durant. And so the tendency of the building to want to protect their future while also understanding LeBron James chose this team. He has elevated this team in a very quick timeline here, and you don't know how much of that you have left. And you've seen, man, what life is like without him in this recent spurt of games and the ones coming up. So I just think it's fascinating to watch how this team operates, because you could argue the interests are in different spots. LeBron's going to want a sped up timeline, and the Lakers could look at this and say, man, we could hurt our future of Anthony Davis if we're too much too soon.
But what I will say is that Anthony Davis's future doesn't come before LeBron James's tenure and his reign is done. So what LeBron James needs right now at age 36 to win a championship is what takes priority, because after that, you're still in that close range of everything still being good, competing, getting to NBA finals. So you maximize on LeBron James, and then your future will sort of write itself, especially after that.
So a lot to look forward to. Again, tomorrow, the NBA trade deadline, a lot of news. All of that going to be coming up as we pay attention to see how these teams adjust to an injury-riddled NBA right now. But we mentioned the 76ers here. They've been in the news. We've seen the Philadelphia Eagles make a big-time signing. They're in the news. Some would call it an elite signing. And we saw a former Eagle finally step in front of a microphone. It's got Philly feeling some type of way. These can only mean one thing. Coming up next, it's time to visit the city of brotherly love and find out if any of these are a good John or a bad John. Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, going to join us in about 10 minutes here. Some signings in the NFL. Teams finally putting pen to paper. But who's got moves left to make? Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwimike. But, Janae, how often do we have to sit around here? We have probably spent the first 6 months of doing this show doing one thing more than anything else. Trying to figure out what a John is and how to pronounce that word. Are you any further along on the pronunciation, Janae?
I know what a John is. Oh, no, that didn't sound right. I know what a John is. Dang, man, I just got to get in the vibe. But I know exactly what it is. It's a thing. It's a Philly thing, and it's in Webster's dictionary. So
that is true. So I can say, we got a lot of Philly folks around here in ESPN Radio. We got two Philly guys working on our show right now, and Cliff and Jake here. And so we feel compelled to represent the city and the area in the best way we can, because we sit around here and we get all the slang. We get every bull, every John, all this stuff that outside of Philly people wouldn't know. Cliff, was Cheney's definition right? How would you define a John for certain people and the way it's used in Philly?
All right, this, okay, John, J-A-W-N.
Yes.
Cheney says John, like J-O-H-N.
Or John,
I'm
like
trying.
J-E-A-N.
Yeah,
John
I'm
means,
trying, Jennifer.
John can be defined as anything but a man. That's it. Literally anything but a man.
So it can be anything around here. And so all the time we've sat around in this show and we've heard someone reference something as a good John or a bad John. Basically just means it's a good or a bad thing on that one. But we decided we would turn it into our own sort of Philadelphia court in here right now. We got a lot of pressing Philly issues. We've got a couple of bulls in here to try and sort it out. And so it's time for good John, bad John to make its return. Let's go. All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. We got Jake and Cliff in here, our committee on Good John, Bad John.
Can I clarify something first?
Yes.
Jake is not actually from Philadelphia. He claims he's from South Street.
There's a reason why I'm being quiet here. It's because I'm the president of Philadelphia, but Cliff is the spokesperson of the house, so I'm letting him do his job.
By the way, I saw it's National Philly Cheesesteak Day today, actually. So,
whoa, is it?
I believe
I need to get back to Ishkabibbles.
So.
Wait, hold on. Can I admit that I've never had a Philly cheesesteak?
That's a bad John.
Blasphemy.
Bad
John.
Bad John.
Chene, I know, that is a bad John.
Chene, not having a Philly cheesesteak is, in fact, a bad John. I think she kind of nailed it there, too, finally.
Yes, nailed it. Let's go.
Now we're getting close. So we've got a lot of Philly business to attend here. So I want to ask our committee. The Philadelphia 76ers in pursuit of Toronto Raptors guard Kyle Lowry. Is this a good John or a bad John?
That's a good John. Bring him back home to Philly, baby.
That's a good John. We need another guy on the perimeter, another ball distributor, another guy who can score points and possibly play defense against a James Harden or a Kyrie Irving, one of the likes of somebody in Brooklyn. I think that's a good John. I would like Kyle Lowry to be back in Philly.
Whoa, we got a good John from Cliff?
Wow.
About his team? Like, this guy is so, so critical. But I think Cliff highlights a major difference here for the Philadelphia 76ers. You need someone that will continue to stretch the floor. You need someone that will dig down and knows how to win a championship. Someone that is well-respected and can play defense. I know he's smaller in stature, but that guy is fierce. He collects a lot of charges. So, it is a good John.
All right, good John, bad John here on Janae and Golic Jr. How about this? Carson Wentz, former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, now Indianapolis Colts quarterback, reteaming up with Frank Reich in here. He was talking at the Colts press conference, and he said this about the end of his time in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't fun. It's not fun when things were going so well for years and, you know, all those things. And don't know why things happened or why they went the way they did. And, you know, as a man, you have to look yourself in the mirror and you know, learn from it. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't fun. It was difficult. But I did everything I could to still be supportive of Jalen and my teammates. And I've learned in this business and life, like, you're just not going to make everyone happy. As much as you want to, you can't. It's unfortunate that people have those opinions, but, you know, I'm going to learn from it and try and be the best teammate I can be. And if any of my teammates out there don't think I was the best teammate, I apologize. I wish I could be better. You know, like I said, last year was tough for everybody.
So Cliff, Jake, looking at this situation, Carson Wentz, his first time in front of a mic now as an Indianapolis Colt, good John or bad John, referring to his former team?
That's a bad John. That Bull just was not ready for the Philly fan base. He wasn't built for the spotlight in Philly. Let him go down to Indianapolis with those guys and have his fun there. That Bull just wasn't ready for it.
That's actually a good John. So this explains the whole hypocrisy of the Philadelphia front office, who's truly to blame for the whole entire Carson Wentz demise. I think it's a good joint to call them out so in turn the fans can look inside of the front office and finally go against them for making this horrific move of trading Carson Wentz and essentially ruining his time in Philadelphia.
You know what? This is consistent with who Cliff has been, though. He has been saying Howie Roseman, the GM, and the front office here have been at the helm of a lot of the bad decision-making here. But, Cliff, speaking of their decisions, the Philadelphia Eagles have signed to a one-year deal quarterback Joe Flacco to back up Jalen Hurts. So they've said they're going all in on Jeffrey Lurie. Said they wanted him to treat him like the number one option. So, Cliff, Jake, Joe Flacco, elite in Philadelphia. Good John, bad John.
Good John. As long as it's not Nick Foles, good John. Please do not bring that guy back to Philadelphia. Good John.
I mean, this is where me and Cliff are just going to separate completely. I think that we should have emptied the whole house on Nick Foles. Bring back the dreams and nightmares, Philly Eagles. We need that John back in Philadelphia. I'm about the dreams and nightmares, Eagles. The dogs, baby.
The 2017 Cheesewitz dreams and nightmares, Philadelphia Eagles. We're a force.
Jake and Cliff, I like y'all. Y'all make a nice duo. Y'all kind of cute.
This was nice. It worked out well. Good John, bad John. Now in its second iteration here. Feeling pretty good about this.
Hey, hold on. You heard that? Ladies, y'all heard that? I'm kind of cute.
Ooh. He's referring to me, thanks.
Oh, I was talking to both of y'all, okay?
Our committee of bulls is already getting drunk with power right now. We've given King them Bull. Good John, bad John in this segment here, and now they're going to run away and hide with this one.
I can't believe Cliff be wilding, y'all.
It is unbelievable around here. All right, coming up next, he may not be a John, but he is welcome around here on the show with us anytime. Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, going to get us caught up on the latest in NFL free agency. We'll do that after this word from Body Armor.
Okay, so yeah, Cliff is cute. When he says he loves me, so that's not every day, but it's all good. Grammy Award winning artist, Shanae the Stallion here, Meg the Stallion's cousin, telling you that Body Armor Light is going to help you achieve your fitness goals this year because Body Armor Light is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Now, it also comes in delicious flavors like peach mango beet drop, tropical coconut, and strawberry lemonade. I mean, that's always a hit. Body Armor Light, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Guess what? You can learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is B-A. Commit to fit. bacommittofit.com. Now, NFL free agency is putting a lot of pressure on teams to, in the words of my better half, prove it next year. Now, which teams, which players? We will tell you right after this on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Your girl is cute, and so is Cliff. And streaming live right here on ESPN Plus. Come look at us.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So, in the least surprising development ever, when we let a couple of Philly guys come on here and judge Philadelphia news, tell us whether something's good or bad, it breaks out into a full-blown fight during our break here. And oddly enough, it was no one in Philadelphia that ended up in the center of the ring. And so coming up next, we'll have that debate on Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio about which NBA star you'd rather have at the helm for your team, Giannis Antetokounmpo or James Harden right now. A real styles make fights matchup, but I think there were some good points made by both sides that we're going to get to here in a little bit. But before we do that, Shanae, we got to head out to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by our ESPN NFL insider, Dan Graziano. Dan, we appreciate the time, and I'm interested in what we're seeing right now in Washington. The NFL Financial Committee has cleared the way for Daniel Snyder to buy out the minority owners of their team, become the majority owner there. And while they're saying this doesn't impact the independent investigation, Dan, how are we supposed to look at this from the outside as he's getting more power over that team in the midst of what's going on and being investigated about what's happened in his building?
My understanding is that these limited partners want it out. And so, I mean, I guess he's accommodating them. So, I mean, look, it's been obviously a rough year in a lot of respects off the field for that team. And, you know, you mentioned the ongoing investigation. We don't know where that's headed, but it seemed like there were some people that were associated with the team that didn't want to be anymore. And that's how this landed. But he ends up. I was looking at that. John Keim wrote about it. He owns 40.5% of the team, and that's going to double. So it's a pretty significant transaction, that's for sure. And obviously, it puts all the power in his hands to the extent that it already wasn't.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people probably feel some type of way after hearing that. But clearly, if the NFL is a part of that investigation and that's how they see fit, it sort of gives an indicator of the direction that they're moving. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now to the field. When it comes to the Jets, they've been making a lot of conversation based on their number two overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft, Dan. And, you know, we saw Mel Kiper Jr.'s board putting in slotting Zach Wilson potentially there as a quarterback. But what do they do with Sam Darnold? Where are you swaying? Keep Sam, draft Zach, or both?
I don't think it's both. I think if they decide to draft Zach Wilson or any other quarterback at two, that they would trade Sam Darnold. And I think if they decide not to trade Sam Darnold, then they would probably trade the two pick. So I think that's been the calculation they've been trying to deal with throughout the offseason. And where they land remains unclear. They've got some time, obviously. But, you know, part of it, Shanae, is assessing what the value of each, and I hate to use this word about people, but what the value of each asset is, right? Like if you can get enough in trade for Sam Darnold, that's whatever you get for Darnold is much better than what you could get for the two pick, then that might inform your decision, right? And vice versa. So they're working through all that. They're in a really good spot. I mean, Darnold's still young. He's still 6 months younger than Joe Burrow. So it's not as if you're ready to give up on him in the big picture. But, you know, you have control of him for one more year and then maybe a fifth-year option, whereas if you draft a guy, you have him for 5 years, you know, six if you franchise him. So I wouldn't be surprised they're leaning that way toward drafting a guy. But if they find out they could really help their team by what they get in return for the pick, then they might keep Darnold and try and build around him. So, yeah, they're in a good spot.
Dan, on the other side of MetLife, I think there's kind of an interesting similar quarterback situation going on right now with Daniel Jones and the Giants, a little further behind in the timeline. But would it be fair to say, mm-hmm. we've seen the Giants load up on offensive weapons this offseason, that Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman are probably both feeling the seat underneath them heat up going into this season, that it's both of them tied together heading into 2021?
Yeah, I mean, the way Gettleman's spending money, it sure looks that way, right? I mean, this guy, you can tell this is somebody who's determined to make the 2021 team better, right? Like, this is, I mean, they're spending top-of-the-market money for Galladay and for Adoree Jackson and, you know, Leonard Williams, who they kind of had to, given all they already had invested in him. But, and Daniel Jones, this was Gettleman's pick, with number six pick a couple years ago. He's heading into year three. Critical year for first round picks, because this time next year they're going to be deciding about his fifth year option. So he's got to show something, and he's shown something, right? I mean, like, actually last year in the second half he got better at the big problem he had, which was the turnover problem. Then he got hurt, which is, by the way, another problem he's now had both years. So he's got to show he's healthy, he's got to show he's taking better care of the ball, and he's got to show that he can be a franchise quarterback, and they feel like adding Kenny Galladay is going to help put him in the best possible position to show that. So, yeah, I think you're reading it exactly right, Mike. I think Gettleman feels the heat, and I think Daniel Jones knows that this is a big year for him, too.
Dan Graziano with us here on Chinee and Golic Jr. And you mentioned next year, that big year, that third year. And we've seen in other places that third year get teams in trouble. We saw Chicago hang on to Mitch Trubisky for too long. Now they're in the spot that they're in here. We saw this happen with Blake Bortles in Jacksonville before that. Is there any part of that recent history that might prompt the Giants, if things don't improve with Daniel Jones this year, to maybe move on sooner than those other teams were willing to?
Yeah, look, it's a tough spot, right? I mean, look, this is what's currently confronting the Browns with Baker Mayfield, right? Now, also the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and the Bills with Josh Allen. But these are guys that have kind of – Lamar won an MVP. Josh played like an MVP this past year. So those teams know what they're going to do. They're going to commit to those guys. But let's use the Browns and Baker. They like Baker. They feel like he showed a lot this year, and they feel like they could win with him. But they have to decide on a fifth-year option or an extension, right? So, I mean, I'm sure they'll pick up the option, but do you extend him now? And what's happened this offseason to inform this is Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott. So you go back 2 years, all those guys were coming off their third year, and Wentz and Goff got extensions that 2 years later the team couldn't wait to get rid of. And Dak didn't sign, as we all know, and waited 2 years and then cashed in huge, even coming off a significant injury. So do the Rams and Eagles regret giving those quarterbacks those extensions when they did? Does Dallas regret not signing Dak Prescott that offseason? How much more did it cost Dallas to buy 2 more years of certainty, right? So, like, if you're the Browns and you're Baker Mayfield, or if you're the Giants and Daniel Jones next year, do you do the extension or do you wait another year knowing that that might cost you significant money? That to me, those situations, you go back to 2 years ago when those three guys were in line for contract extensions. Those are the examples that I think teams are keeping in mind when they're making this decision now.
And making this decision coming off a year where they certainly had a lot less money to spend, and it looks like that'll improve drastically next season, hopefully. Dan, you're the best. We appreciate the time. We'll check
Thank
in with you.
You
again soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, clear out. No more quarterbacks. We're calling ISO right now. James Harden or Giannis Antetokounmpo? At Chenea, at Mike Golic Jr. Let us know what you think. We'll tell you what our committee of bulls thinks next, and we'll do it after this word from DraftKings.
All right, UFC 260 is a can't-miss event. Y'all, I'm Team Francis Ngannou. Team Africa in the building! And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is so easy to play. Just pick 6 fighters, choose your fighter, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. DraftKings is a safe, secure, and reliable app, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Now, make sure you download the DraftKings app right now and use promo code CJR to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's code CJR. And I'm so late to this. I was like, why pick those letters? I'm like, oh, Chenea Jr. I get it now. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. Yes, I did go to Stanford. I'm wearing the shirt. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, good John, bad John got us here. Better lead player, Giannis Antetokounmpo or James Harden? MVP versus MVP. We will fight over it. And of course, your girl here, Chenea Ogwumike, the NBA analyst, will drop the hammer as referee. Next on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Don't miss the biggest, baddest rematch at UFC 260 as heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic and number one contender Francis Ngannou meet for the second time. UFC 260 on March 27th is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. And don't miss a special episode of DC and Helwani with Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani this Thursday from 9 to 11 on ESPN Radio. And Chenea Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Ogwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Chenea, did you see Ariel and DC on Instagram with their tag team ESPN broadcast belts out here flexing like we weren't number one in the rankings?
Please, let's both, well, I don't know. I was going to say, we could take Ariel, not sure about.
Listen, I'm just going to say it right now. Number one. Like, we'll take them in the octagon of broadcasting. I want no parts of Daniel Cormier in anything resembling a physical fight.
You don't think both of us could hold it down?
No!
Like,
no.
I would be decoy?
No.
I would, like, distract.
Me and Jake got y'all. Me and Jake gonna take down Daniel Cormier. Come on now.
Daniel Cormier.
That's a bad John.
This would be like Brian Scalabrine getting challenged by that high school kid, but the version where people go to the hospital after. Daniel Cormier would send all of us to an early grave. That man is not. I can't believe you guys would even say that out
loud. Show me the mat.
Talking about, we from Philly, yo. We were born and raised on Rocky. You really think we going to boost to some dude named Daniel Cormier?
All right, easy, Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I'm from Houston. Yo, I'm from Houston, so I'm with the smoke. Junior, where are you from?
I'm from West Hartford, Connecticut. I was born in South Jersey. And you know what? You know what I know? I know what not to mess with. Like, I wouldn't expect any of you guys to say, yeah, you know what? I'm ready to line up in an Oklahoma drill with Mike. Because it wouldn't end well for you. It would end with you flat on your back with a lot of your own teeth in your hand and bad things running through your mind.
Okay, talk your ish.
Tell me the time and place.
I would say, like, honestly, that's the one thing is, like, I know how much time I put into my thing. Janae, I know how much time you put in to being a two-time WNBA All-Star. I know how much time Brian Scalabrine put into being an NBA player. And I know not to mess with people that have put their 10,000 hours
whatever,
in
Junior,
into physical violence.
Whatever. We still coming for that belt, so get yourself mentally prepared because that belt had bling, and you know I love bling, that so is, we coming for it.
That is true. Janae needs her diamonds, and so we got to go out here. We got to find this come hell or high water.
Hey, Mike, I know how long it took me to become a bull, though, so that's what it's about.
My
with a bulldozer.
You know what? At Janae and at Mike Golic Jr., what's the tag team name? Because Jake's got the bulldozer on lock himself. So what's our tag team name as we take down DC and Helwani right now? Because they're coming to Arc. They're coming. It might have to be Swirl, right?
Swirl with the attack. Woo!
That is, it's the least intimidating tag team name ever, but it is so appropriate for us. But they're coming to our turf. They're coming to ESPN Radio to do this show. And so we got to make sure that we defend our space.
We have to. Swirl on the attack. That's what we'll do.
Swirl for the takedown. 2 points on this. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. So hit us up at Janae, at Mike Golic Jr. If you can beat Swirl, we'll give you the credit
for
it.
Oh, my God.
But as we get ready for that battle, see, Jake and Cliff have been really on top of their game today. And so we're sitting around here during the break, and we've been talking all day about the NBA, what's going on around the trade deadline. We'll have Chiney's starting five coming up in about 10 minutes here to get you right for what you need to know for the trade deadline. But it's centered back around this. As we talk about the contenders in the NBA, we've certainly got the Nets. But, Janae, you brought up on multiple occasions, the Bucks have been kind of building their thing behind closed doors, outside, out of sight, out of mind this season. And it brought up this central question, and I'll ask it to you first, Janae. If I'm giving you one person to build your team around, James Harden or Giannis Antetokounmpo, who are you going with? Because that was the style debate going on in our break on this show.
I would take I don't like you. I would take Giannis Antetokounmpo just because his impact is huge on both ends. Like, rim protector, also can handle the ball, will give you 30 points on every night. Now, I'm not saying that he will necessarily be the reason you win a championship, but he will get that team to a point that's very close, and then you bring on icing on the cake. But what are the Bulls saying? Bulldozer? Everybody?
So I was going to say, what's your guys' contention here? Because I'm with Chiney in these arguments, and I liken it to when we used to have the best receiver argument, and it would be like Julio Jones against Antonio Brown. I'm always taking the physical freak. I'm taking the guy, as I heard Ryan Clark say the other day on the I Am Athlete podcast, who walked out of the hospital with more in his bag already than the rest of humanity here. Where are you at, Cliff?
Oh, I'm of the understanding that I just think Harden controls the game more, whereas there's an actual blueprint on how to stop Giannis come playoff time. And it's kind of his fault, kind of not, because it is due to his team and his surroundings, right? But James Harden can shoot the lights out, can pass to anyone in the world, he just controls the game more, especially because he's a point guard, right? He's the best point guard in the league. Giannis, it's a little bit different where he can't rely on the jumper. He has to literally go to the net and just dunk on people. I think there's a blueprint in what Toronto did a couple years ago and what Miami did last year to create a wall and stop Giannis. I don't think there's any stopping Harden, really.
Jake?
It's really up to him to stop himself.
I don't know how much time we have left, but I'm with Gojo on the physical gifts thing. He has everything that's built for an NBA player. He's 7 feet and he's a point guard. I think that we've seen Harden with another superstar and they didn't win a championship. We have not seen Giannis with another superstar.
Hey,
and I think that if we see that.
What superstar did we see Harden with?
I mean,
Paul.
That's a superstar.
Westbrook. Russell Westbrook.
Come on, man.
Those are superstars.
James Harden has had better players alongside him than anyone Giannis has
had. Yeah, Giannis
so far
had Drew
career.
Holiday,
not even
though.
Close.
But time out. He also ran into the wall that was the Golden State Warriors with CP3 and Russ. Come
Thank
on
you.
Now.
Thank you. Okay, Cliff, you get a point there.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. James Harden or Giannis, if you're starting a team right now. We'll get to plenty more of that right now. The gloves are up inside this studio. The gloves are up. Our producer's already texting Ariel Helwani right now, letting him know we want the smoke. We want a shot at the belt for the best tag team broadcast duo at ESPN. And coming up next, we'll show you just why. We'll throw our fastball. Our ESPN NBA analyst, Chiney Agbumike, going to give you her starting five next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.